continuing our series in the book of Galatians, and the series is called Galatians, Freedom is Ours. Lynn mentioned it earlier that this is all about freedom, and this morning we're going to talk about faith, and really faith is the key that unlocks freedom. I think Lynn did a fantastic job, and I'm really glad that she beat the sheep so I don't have to this morning. I always am very mindful of using Christianese terms without explaining them, because, you know, if this is your first time in a church and you're like, this is really weird, they keep calling me sheep. What is that all about? It's just we're God's sheep and he's our shepherd. So that's what it is. So let's hear for the sheep. All right. Good deal. Wanted to once again tell you thank you so much for all of the love and concern and prayers that you've given to me and my family. Want to update you that my surgery to remove the tumor is August 17th in Orlando. Yeah, it seems like an eternity away. So if you're going to pray specifically for anything, just pray for patience. That'd be great. But thank you so much for your prayers and your love and your support. Because I'm going through this, I want to be real and transparent before you too. I don't want to use it as a ploy or a tool to get your sympathy or anything like that, because I've got God's sympathy. I'm good. But at the same time, I want you to know that because of what I'm going through, it certainly makes me re-look at faith. And so what I would like for all of us to do this morning, if you will, faith is one of those words that we just use a lot, or even if we don't use it a lot, it's so familiar to us, and we think we understand faith. And unfortunately, for most of us, I put myself in this too, sometimes we relegate faith to sort of a stepping stone, as sort of like the first stone you step on in your walk with the Lord. I think all of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ realizes that we first had to believe and that we had to have faith. Well, truth be told, first, God had to give his grace. But then the stepping stone that we first step on, though, is believing, and that's faith. Unfortunately, sometimes that's where we leave that stone, if you will, of faith, is just the first thing we do to believe. But the reality is we need faith in every aspect of our lives, every moment of our lives, not just every day. And so will you do that for me this morning? Try your very hardest. I know it's hard because, again, faith is such a familiar word. Try to say, God, help me look at faith through new eyes. Actually, let's pray that. Father God, we ask, Lord, that you would give us new eyes, Lord. Give us new ears to hear this very familiar term, Lord, and to be in wonder and be in awe of it again. Lord, that you would help our hearts to be tender and soft, Lord. Take the stony hearts from us, Lord. The hearts that have been hardened from disappointment, from sickness, from sin. Lord, that you would take that stony heart out, Lord, and give us a heart of flesh. Lord, that would be tender, Lord, and that we would understand faith in a new way. And more importantly, Lord, we would act upon faith in a new way this morning. And Lord, that this morning would be just the start of a new life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're in your Bibles in the book of Galatians, we're going to start in chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 6 through 14. And then we're going to kind of dive into faith. Okay? Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Consider Abraham. We're going to talk about Abraham a little bit this morning. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is really important for the Apostle Paul as he's talking to the believers at the Church of Galatia. Church of Galatia was primarily Gentile believers, and there was also a Jewish contingency that was possibly in there, but certainly around there. And the whole book of Galatians is about Jewish believers trying to force the law upon them that Jesus wasn't enough. It needed to be Jesus plus the law. And so this is what's going on. And so what Paul does is he goes back to the father of faith, that not only Gentiles who understand anything about God would understand, but more importantly, what the Jewish believers, the Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ would understand and be able to grasp, that of the father of faith, Abraham. So basically he's saying, let's go before the law was instituted. Before God gave the law on Mount Sinai to Moses, there was the man Abraham. And he believed, and because he believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, he believed, therefore, or equals, he was righteous. He was in right standing before God. Verse 7, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. So even though most, I believe all of us, maybe most of us, are not Jewish or are of Jewish descent, we're Gentiles, but because we believe, we too are children of Abraham. In other words, we're children of that promise, that first covenant that was given between God and man. Actually, Pastor Robert is going to be talking a little bit more about that covenant next week, so I won't get into it much. But God established a covenant with man, first with Abraham, and he was the sole property in that. In other words, Abraham did not have to do anything. God did it all. Verse 8, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel or the good news in advance to Abraham. See, it's important for us to understand that Abraham's faith wasn't different than our faith. He had the gospel proclaimed to him. Important we understand that. What does that mean? That means that he understood who Jesus was. He understood the promise of the Messiah, that Jesus would come and would die for our sins so that we would not have to, that his blood would atone for us, that he would purchase us back from the enemy and from ourselves, from the bondage of sin. Abraham saw that, understood that, and believed that. The good news, the gospel was proclaimed in advance to him. The gospel didn't start just when Jesus was born in a manger and was incarnate. This was pre-incarnation, that he saw, I believe, he saw Jesus and understood Jesus and believed upon Jesus. This is the faith we're talking about. And it's important that we understand that. This faith is in Jesus. It's not just that there is a higher being and yeah, let's call him God. It's much deeper than that. Otherwise, everybody pretty much would be saved unless you're agnostic. Or, excuse me, atheist, because even agnostic says, yeah, there is a God, but I choose not to believe in him. There has to be more than that, and Abraham understood more than that. Let's read verse 8 again. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. This is part of the gospel. All nations will be blessed through you. Why do we go to other nations? Why do we proclaim the gospel? Why do we give the good news? Why do we share our testimony to our neighbors, our coworkers, go across the sea on mission trips? It's because it's part of the gospel. The good news is anyone who believes will be saved. Verse 9, so those who have faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. The same blessing that Abraham had, the same promises that Abraham has, other than maybe your offspring will outnumber the sand on the seashore. Some mothers and fathers don't want that blessing for sure. Verse 10, all who rely, everybody say rely, on observing the law are under a curse. Again, the whole book of Galatians, he's trying to pull these Gentiles out of the bewitching, as Paul says earlier in chapter 3, the bewitching that was going on that told them if they believed in Jesus, they also had to follow the law. So he's saying if you rely on that, if your reliance is on anything other than Jesus, you are cursed. Can I go so far to say that? That's what we need to hear and understand today in the 21st century. Right now, Umatilla, Florida, what's today's date? July, whatever, 2015, is if we rely on anything other than Jesus, we are cursed. Including the law, including something that in of itself is not wrong. The law is godly because God gave it. But if we rely on that instead of his son, we are cursed. So that means if we're relying on our checking account, if we're relying on our vehicle, if we're relying on our relationship, if we're relying on our job, if we're relying on doctors, if we're relying on anything more than Jesus Christ, then we are cursed. We have to get to that level truly if we understand, if we're going to understand what faith is. All who rely, verse 10 again, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law or by anything else, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He was cursed so that we would not have to be cursed. For it is written, cursed is anyone, or is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, come to us, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the active presence of the living God that lives within us. We receive that promise through faith. Faith is so important. So I said early on that I wanted us to look at faith in a new way. I want to pass around the microphone, if I can find it. You got it? Okay, good. I want you to raise your hand. Take a stab at defining what faith is. What is faith? Just raise your hand and Pastor Robert will get to you. What's faith?
To me, faith is it's sacrificing yourself and trusting that the Father will hold you up in this life.
Okay, that's good. Key word I heard was trust. Somebody else, what's faith?
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Hebrews 11:1. Good. Absolutely. And we're going to get to that in a minute.
In Romans chapter 3 or 4, verse 20, it's talking about Abraham, and it said, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And I love that it, fully convinced.
Okay, good. So faith is being fully convinced. Good. One more. Sure. Hold on, he's bringing a mic.
I want to talk just a little bit about faith, because for years and years I've been on a road of faith, and God is very faithful when you put all of your trust in him.
Yeah.
Divide nothing, but give it all to him. Don't take it. Keep putting it down, keep putting it down, keep putting it down. And one day the fruition of everything that you've prayed for will come to pass. That's faith.
It's good. It's a good thing.
When you can look back. Because sometimes you don't even see your own faith when you're walking through the storm. And sometimes when you give your blessing, that's when you go, wow, that's faith.
Absolutely. Agreed. The next question I want to ask and want to get your input on is, how have you personally stepped out in faith? You could keep it short. I mean, obviously it involves your testimony, but don't give your whole testimony. But how have you stepped out in faith? Does anybody have an example?
Okay. I used to smoke cigarettes for years and years. I tried to quit I don't know how many different times. But one day, here in this church, God told me to put my cigarettes on the altar and that he would help me go not take one again. And so I took that as faith that he would help heal me from those cigarettes. And to this day, I have not smoked another cigarette. And that was by faith because I craved them. But I asked him also to make me sick to my stomach if I ever smelt one. And let me tell you, it does. So don't ask God to do that if you don't want to get that. But by faith.
No, ask God to do that. That's good.
Yeah, but by faith, I stepped out of that because it was an addiction.
Yeah, for sure.
Very, very, very bad addiction. And a lot of things came and hit me in the face and struggles and stuff that happened in that year. But by faith, through God, I was able to conquer it. And that's my step out of faith.
That's great. Thank you.
Will do. Okay. When I rededicated my life to God last year, it was on the tail end of having lived in sin and a relationship that had failed. And after being a caretaker, I was left completely destitute. And when God asked me to tithe, bear in mind, I work with numbers all day long. Okay. I work with the balance sheet. And I make things balance and agree with each other. And I looked at my accounts and I said, God, there's no way. There is no way. I cannot do what you're asking me to do. And I wrestled with it for months. And he kept nudging me, kept pushing me. And it was with fear and trembling that I wrote that first check. And even though there was less in my account, he did so much more with it. And he got me out of that destitution. He got me out of that. There was food on my table. My electric was on.
Yeah.
Every single need that I had, he took care of. And he is true to his word. The enemy would rather tell you what things look like. Oh, no, you'll never do this. You'll never be this. It will never get better. It'll just get worse. And God is right there. And when you hold on to him, the fear goes away.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
So faith is the absence of fear.
It's good. Last one, Kim. Kim to Kim.
I just realized that I've been walking in faith probably a couple years now without my husband being here with me. Bobby and I, when we first started dating, our dates were being together in church. We met because of being in church.
Right.
I realize how much I miss sharing that with him, but it's been a walk of faith for the last couple of years, giving him over to what God gave us as a couple. But sometimes Sundays are hard. But sitting here before you started this, I thought, man, I really feel the need to just ask the congregation, ask my friends to pray in faith that the Lord will open up the door for him to be back with us. And so I'm asking that of you. And there's some things now going on that the Lord's starting to kind of show there might be a different direction so he can come back.
Fantastic.
So I'd ask prayers for that.
Sure. Absolutely. Good. Thank you. I asked you guys to kind of take part because it needs to be real to us. And we need to see that it's everyday things. It's the extraordinary things. And I would put quitting cigarettes in the extraordinary. I really would. And then there's the everyday things that we need his help in. And we have to put our faith and trust in him. If I were to try to be as simple as possible in defining faith, I would say faith is reliance on God. Just plain and simple reliance on God. That we trust him in his word. We rely on him for the next breath that we take. Let's be honest. And that if we're going through something difficult or easy and blessed, whatever it is, that we're relying on God. We're not relying on our own works. We're not relying on what somebody else says. We're not relying on what we say. We're relying on what God says. And we just read in verse 9 that those who have faith, as Abraham had, and again, Abraham had faith in Jesus Christ, that we would be blessed. So faith equals blessing to us. And I think so much Christians want to be blessed. You know, we pray for blessings, and I believe God wants to bless, but it's all tied into faith. It truly is. And then verse 10, again, contrasted it with what the people in Galatia were going through, that they were so tempted and being instructed by other, I believe, well-meaning believers that they should observe the law. And what Paul says is basically, faith is relying on God, reliance on observing the law is a curse. So if we rely on God, we'll be blessed. It may not be the jet or the new whatever that we're looking for. That may not be the blessing. But we're blessed because we have Christ. Without Christ, if we're relying on anything else, it's truly a curse. Hebrews 11:1, Mary mentioned it earlier. I want to talk about that for a minute. It says, now faith, verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Brenda read a scripture from Romans about the same thing, of being convinced. Being convinced of what we hope for. If I have faith that I'll be healed from these tumors, that means I'm convinced that what I hope for is going to happen. It will become a reality. It's not blind faith in that, wow, it sure would be great if that happened. No, I'm convinced it will happen. So much so that sometimes I'm like, it's almost not a strain to have faith. And there's other times that God calls us to that strain. For whatever reason, where we're at, what he wants to do in us, whatever it is, it's a strain to have faith. And other times it's almost like breathing in and out. It's just there. So faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced, and certain of what we do not see. So it's a conviction that is not a static emotion. That's, again, where we usually leave faith, is that static emotion. I believe there is a God, and I believe that God's name is Jesus Christ. Cool, awesome, but so do the demons, and they shudder, Scripture says. So it's more than just that static emotion that just stays there. It's something that's lively and active. That's what we're called to. A life of faith is lively and active. If we're truly walking a walk of faith, that means there will be times where we're straining. And if we're not straining, it's not because God wants us to be comfortable. It's because we're not operating in a life of faith. Romans 10:17, very important aspect of this, says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, it might be easy to just believe in something for you, but it may not be faith. It may just be empty hope. Man, I sure would like to be the manager at my company. It's completely different when you hear God say to you, I'm calling you to be a manager of your company. Completely different. Because then when you hear God's voice, you can be convinced that is his plan for you. And then that's where you put your faith in. So we have to hear God's voice. We hear God's voice through his word, first and foremost, but also by his Holy Spirit. So that's why we have to tune our ear to hear his voice and his voice alone, going back to us being sheep or sheeples. Romans 15:4 says something similar. For whatever things were written before, written in Scripture that we have, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's what we put our hope in. That's what we put our faith in, is what God says, first and foremost. So it's really important that we understand that faith isn't just believing something strong enough. It's believing in what God said strong enough. It's an important distinction. Let's continue to read Hebrews 11, verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. The whole chapter of Hebrews 11, I would recommend you reading it. It's usually termed the faith chapter, and it goes on through all of the giants of the Old Testament and why they had faith and what that faith bore out in their lives. And so what the ancients were commended for was their faith. It wasn't for what they did or what they didn't do. It was for their faith because they relied on God. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. See, it goes right back to, what did God say? Even the universe was formed at God's command. Before he commanded, let there be light, before he commanded oceans and land and animals and humans, what was seen was made out of nothing that was visible. And that's really what faith is. Again, faith is being sure of what we do not see. And so God speaks things into existence. He speaks things into existence when they're not there. When the healing for you is not there. When the job for you is not there. When the relationship that you're in, your marriage, or whatever it might be, is crumbling about you, it's not there. God can speak into something that is not there and bring life. And then we suddenly can have faith. We can rely on what God said. Some realities are unseen because they belong to the spiritual realm. Sometimes we don't see things because they're in the spirit. Book of Ephesians says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Things we do not see, it's in the spiritual realm. So we have faith, we rely on God because we can't see it, we can't affect it, but he sure can. And then some things we don't see because they're still in the future. The things that we're believing for, they're not here yet, but we rely on God that they will come. Hebrews 11:6, to skip a couple of verses. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. The first stepping stone. He exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I want to say to you today, if you're earnestly seeking him, do not listen to the voice of the enemy. He will reward you. He will be found by you. Keep seeking him. Just as faith is so common to us, Hebrews 11:6 is so common to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, great. I want to say it a different way. The life of faith is the only life that pleases God. I'll say it even more aggressively. The life of faith is the only life that he accepts. So it's not an additive, as the Jewish believers were trying to get the church at Galatia to believe, that they needed to believe in Jesus and then the additive of the law as well. No, this is imperative in our walk with the Lord that we have faith. It's imperative. It's the only life, the life of faith, that God is pleased with and accepts. So if you're like me, sometimes you oscillate between, sometimes I'm just really, really hard on myself, and then sometimes I'm not hard enough on myself. And so I want to ask you, realizing that our propensity is to go both ways, I don't want you to be too hard on yourself. At the same time, I don't want you to be fooled and deceived either. Ask yourself, am I living a life of faith? Does it please God? Or am I just static? Am I just turning? Am I just spinning in the wind? Here's a quote from St. Augustine. In a lot of ways, he kind of says this scripture in a different way. Faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. See, God will reward us if we rely on him for what we do not see. He will make it happen. He will bring it about in our lives. Faith involves confident action. It's a verb. DC Talk had a song, Love is a Verb. Well, faith is a verb. It's action. It's something also that it implies continual action, not just past tense action. Faith will lead you to works that are expressions of your trust in God. If I trust God, then I will go and talk to somebody. If I trust God, then I will live my life knowing I'll be healed, knowing that God's going to heal my relationship, knowing that God's got this, knowing that I'll get a job eventually, because I rely on God. I don't rely on other things. We started this passage in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, with two simple words. Consider Abraham. Hebrews 11 that we just read considers Abraham and talks about Abraham more than anybody else because he was the father of our faith. What Abraham did was this. God came to him and said, you're comfortable, in the Sean McCracken International version, you're comfortable where you are. You've got family around you. You know what you're doing. You've got a job. I want you to go to somewhere else. Okay, where? I'm not sure yet. You just go. But, I mean, you know, it'd be nice if I knew. It would, wouldn't it? But no, go. And it says, he believed and went. Then it says that God came on the scene and said, yo, Abraham, you're really old and your wife is really old too. Thanks, God, I didn't realize that. But I'm going to make you the father of all nations. Your descendants will outnumber the sand on the seashore. But God, I'm at this point with the promise, I'm 90, and he didn't actually come through with the promise till he was 100 and his wife was 90. Says he had faith. He believed God, and it eventually did happen. He had to wait. I'm in that mode right now too of waiting. It's horrible. But God has us wait sometimes. Then he has precious Isaac. Not only his son, we all love our children, right? Sure, Isaac was a cool little kid to be around, but he also represented God's promise. It represented everything to Abraham. And then God said, I want you to go up on Mount Moriah and kill him. Sacrifice him to me. Would you do it? Abraham was willing to do it. He had faith. At the same time, he had faith that I'm going to do it. At the same time, I have faith that he's going to provide a substitute. Excuse me, the substitute. And he had faith. So when we consider Abraham, that's what Abraham went through. Real life stuff. God tells us sometimes to move. God sometimes tells us to move by losing our job. And then we're found in this place of, where am I going? What am I going to do next? God's there. We need to rely on him. We're almost to the end. I want to talk about two dimensions of faith. There's probably more, but these are the two dimensions that I recognize in my own life. The first dimension of faith, by the way, first isn't less than second. First dimensional faith sees realities in the realm of possibilities. We know things are possible. Sometimes we know they're possible because God's already done it before in the past. God's healed others in our lives, so therefore I believe he can heal me. It's in the realm of possibility, even though you could argue it's an impossibility, according to doctors or according to other people. First dimensional faith basically is, he said it, so I believe it, or I will do it. This is truly taking God at his word. This is where obedience comes. This is where faithfulness is. This dimension is engaging our faithfulness. First dimensional faith is being faithful. Do you realize being faithful, Gala, to continue to not pick up a pack of cigarettes takes faith? Anything that God tells us to do or to not do takes faith, because we have to believe and trust that he knows best. Believe and trust that his plan is better than our plan. First dimension faith is everyday life. And we have to be faithful to that. Remember, I said first dimensional faith is not less than second dimensional. I would say sometimes it's harder than second dimension, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but it's hard to be faithful, to remain faithful. There's a reason in Scripture it says he's faithful when we're not faithful, because we're so often not faithful. But when we're faithful, that's when blessings come, because we're exercising a life of faith. Second dimension faith sees realities in the realm of impossibilities. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small for our God. And when we have that faith, when we exercise that faith, we are certain of the impossibility becoming a possibility. No, excuse me, not a possibility, a fact. An impossibility becomes a fact when we exercise this kind of faith. Now, there'll be those in the faith camp that would say, you were not healed because you lacked faith. I personally would say that those people are not relying on God, they're relying on their faith. Therefore, it's not truly faith. Because truly faith relies on God, relies on his word, believes his word, and says, I will do your word. And I believe what you say to me. If you tell me to say to this tree, be thou removed and cast into the sea, I'll say it to the tree and it will be because you said it. Not just because, let's exercise this. Let's see what kind of power I have. If I can believe hard enough, it has nothing to do with our strength. Do you ever notice how brand new believers seem to have more faith than those of us who have been in the faith for a while? Truly means they didn't earn anything then, right? I mean, we don't have enough under our belt that all of a sudden now we get to a new level. It's not like that. It's they believe. They believe that and rely on what God says. In this second dimension, Jesus is needed or it won't happen. If you've ever gone on a mission trip to another country, you see this faith all the time. It's every day, and if you're like me, you say, why can't we see that here? We don't see that here as often, I believe, is because we don't really need Jesus. Don't get me wrong, my theology says we need Jesus to breathe. So I'm not saying theologically, I'm saying in our minds. We know the right word, you know, the right things to say. If somebody says, do you need Jesus? Of course I do. But no, see, we have our bank account. We have our doctors. We have our jobs. We have our security. We have our savings account. We have things that we can fall back on. Second dimension faith is Jesus is going to have to show up or it's not going to happen. Plain and simple. Now, I think where sometimes the body of Christ gets this wrong is then says, well, if you go to a doctor, for an example, then you truly don't expect Jesus to show up. I don't believe that's the case. It's all in our mind frame and in our heart. If we go to a doctor and we still realize, man, if Jesus isn't in the room, this isn't going to happen. That's the faith that he wants us to have. Real quick story from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. When Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. This is the beginning, I believe, of second dimensional faith, is when we plead with God. Please do something. This is what he pleaded about, verse 6. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and racked with pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Then the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I want you to see a constant thread throughout this. Jesus said, say the word. Jesus commands. It's in God's speaking that we believe, that faith is formed. Just say the word from where you are, and I know, I'm convinced, I have faith that my servant, your servant, will be healed. Verse 9, I know because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. He understands authority. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this or that, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Do you ever think of that? Jesus Christ's mouth being dropped open by something you did or said or believed? Wow, that's got to be cool. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like his, like this, in all the land of Israel. What made him so special? It almost sounds like he's just trying to be polite. Look, 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 don't go to too much trouble. You know, you've had a long day already. It's okay, I don't want to put you out. That's not what Jesus was commending. He wasn't like, man, I'm really tired. That dude gets it. He understands I'm tired. No. It was something else. The officer had faith unmatched because he understood Christ's authority. And that's truly what faith is. We get it mixed up when we make faith our authority. No, we have faith in Christ's authority. That's why his faith was unmatched. He surely pleaded. He asked. But he said, look, your authority, dude, you can think it and it's going to happen. You don't even have to come over. Just think it, because I know you're that powerful. When was the last time we understood Christ's authority to this level? Faith is not being in control. Pastor Scott last week talked about us control freaks. So I'm going to hammer on us again. If we have faith, then that means we're not in control. Let that sink in for a minute. Again, if you think, wow, if I just had enough faith, whoa, you're in control again. It's all about your faith, isn't it? No. If we have faith in Christ's control, his authority, truly faith, living a life of faith, is letting the Holy Spirit be in control. I'd like to have the worship team come up. And the ushers are going to start passing out a little slip of paper for you and a pen. Please don't be distracted, because I have a couple more things to say. Can you do two things at one time? If you're chewing gum, you might want to spit it out, though, because I don't know if you can do three things at one time. Galatians 2, verses 22 through 23. I want to skip ahead to the two verses from next week, kind of as a teaser. Verse 22 of Galatians 3. But the scripture declares that the whole world is prisoner of sin. It's important we understand that. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners, locked up until faith should be revealed. I want to say something to us this morning. We are locked up in prison if we are not living a life of faith. We are locked up in prison to sin, even if we're not overtly thinking we're sinning. We're living in fear, we're sinning. We're living in doubt, we're sinning. If the only life that is pleasing to the Lord is a life of faith and we're not having faith, we are sinning. We are locked in prison. We're held in prison by the things that are going on in our lives. We're held in prison by the things people say about us and to us. We're held in prison by offense. We're held in prison by having to punch the clock every single day, because that's what we truly rely on more than God. We are in prison without this faith. So everyone has a slip of paper. You have two sides. In case you didn't know that, it's two sides. On one side, I want this to represent first dimensional faith, your faithfulness. What is God telling you to do in the everyday? On the back, second dimensional faith. What is God having you to believe for that seems to be an impossibility? But he's telling you to step out and to believe. Maybe it's in the future. Maybe you've just seen a glimpse, maybe even just a shadow of it. What are we stepping out in faith for? First dimension wise, what is God telling us again to be faithful in? Maybe it's God is telling me to step out and just trust him that I can get over this addiction. Maybe it's God is telling me to step out in faith and believe that I'm going to get back into his word. Whatever that might be. And then on the back, the second dimension. What is God telling me to believe that I might be straining to even believe? That my marriage will be healed. That my relationship with my kids will be resolved. That I'll be healed from this tumor in my brain. What is it that we're stepping out in faith for? During this first song, I want you to really pray about that. I want you to think about that. I want you to write something down. It's a little slip of paper that you can slide in your Bible, and I want us to continue to look at this. Ask God right now to speak, because again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, by the power and authority of your Son's name, Lord, you would tell us what you want us to step out in faith. Lord, that we would be active. We would not be static. Lord, show us what we're to be faithful in. Show us what we're to believe for, even though we see no signs of it being anytime soon. God, we don't want to blindly believe. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your direction. Even if it's like Abraham, go. Maybe there's no other definition or understanding than that. Just go. That we would at least have that. Thank you, God. Speak, Lord, and help us to step out in faith. In Jesus' name.